Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. Last week on the April Fool's edition, it was Ask Awareness for Small Shops. That was with Amy Eisenstein. She's the author of 50 Asks in 50 Weeks, and she shared lots of valuable insights for opening up relationships, identifying prospects, cultivating, and soliciting, all for small development shops. In fact, one of our listeners posted to the Facebook page that it was the best hour she spent all week last week. Appreciate that. This week, we excel in email execution. It's going to be Dave Polis. Dave is principal of Granite Partners, and he's going to share five elements of effective email marketing and also have other tips about list hygiene. Are you getting the most out of your email? How do you develop an email list if you don't have one? Is your list hygienic and only engaging in safe practices? Also, Claire Meyerhoff. Claire is the editorial director at The Planned Giving Company, and she is this show's creative producer. Claire's going to reveal how to write for email fundraising so that your messages get opened, read, and responded to. So we're all about email in this hour. Between my guests, it's Tony's Take Two at roughly 32 minutes into the hour. And this week on Tony's Take Two, five ways to be a planned giving evangelist or an evangelist for whatever it is that you love doing. That's on Tony's Take Two. So we're all about email this week. After this break, I'll be joined by Dave Polis, and we'll get started with our Excel in Email Execution show. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. We're all about email today, and I'm joined now by Dave Polis. Dave, how are you doing?
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure to have you. Welcome. Dave is the CEO and chief consultant of Granite Partners, which you'll find at granite-part.com. He has been creating successful marketing programs for clients, mostly in the Washington, D.C. metro area, for over 25 years, and I'm very glad that his work and his expertise in email marketing specifically bring him to the show. Welcome again, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave, what does somebody do if they don't have an email list to get started with? We may as well talk about building the list before we talk about what to do with it.
There are a number of approaches. It depends on what situation you're in. If you're looking for consumers, there are an awful lot of ways to build a consumer list. One of the more prominent and more recently evolved is the social media. You can use social media to evolve yourself into an email list based on friends through Facebook, Twitter followers, LinkedIn connections. Those kind of things can all be gathered and used as a kernel for a personal sort of networking list that you can use to promote whatever business you're in.
Okay.
For nonprofits and fundraisers, it's a little more complicated.
Okay. Well, let's deal with the complicated because our audience is small and mid-sized nonprofits, so that's where we want to be. How should they go about it? If they have a list of people who have been supporting them, maybe just for a couple of years, maybe for many years, but they don't have email lists.
Probably the first thing to do is make sure you have permission to communicate with these people. If they're members or donors, they've sent you something. You have at least an address for them. Send them a postcard. Ask them to send you back their email address, and in response, you'll give them some sort of data, a special report or a copy of some research or something that's of value to them in return for them giving up their email address to you.
Okay, so use their physical address to get their email address to mail to them? Okay.
Same thing on your website. If the organization has a website and you simply ask visitors to log in before they can access certain pieces of it or certain information that they need, include a slot to give them your email address. And that way you can collect it and use it for later solicitation.
Okay, so maybe not to get to your homepage, but to get to some deeper content on your site, you mean? Then there's a little there's an access that requires email address?
That's one good way to do it, because you're making sure that it's not just a casual visitor. You're having them self-select by their level of interest.
Okay.
What you would end up doing, if you put it on the front of the homepage, you're going to get every Tom, Dick, and Harry that entered that in a search. They want to just see the front page and make sure they got to the right spot and see if there's anything of interest there at all. You make them register, you get their email address, you send out emails, you've wasted all that time, money, and effort to maintain the list, and they have no interest at all in what you're offering.
Right, okay. Or you might even just turn people off who might have an interest, but they say, geez, just to see the homepage, I have to sign in?
Right. Okay. You're going to get some abandonment issues there for your webpage as well. And there are people that have legitimate reason to see your front page and can use the information, but that you don't want to solicit.
Right. I love how you call that abandonment. I'm not going to put you in jargon jail for that. We have jargon jail here on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. But I already, I said it and then you called it abandonment. I just love the, everybody, every business has its language. So abandonment issues. Yes, if you're having spouse problems, that could be an abandonment issue. But we're not going that deep.
I think that's another show.
That's a different show. That's a whole different. Yes, that's a whole different person. Abandonment issues. Yes. All right. What about events? I mean, if you're hosting an event, maybe just put postcards on the table at the event or something like that.
Anytime you're gathering an environment where you have potential donors or potential participants, you want to make sure you're gathering and collecting email addresses. Most people are putting them on their business cards. That's a good way to start. Raffles, contests, even offering, as I do on my website, content in exchange for the information. We talked about offering by mail some sort of special report. I offer electronically a report on my website, and I force people to give me their email address so I can send it to them.
Okay.
Electronically. It's a much fairer trade, and people who are looking for something to read like to receive free reading material in return. So it makes a lot of sense.
Now, will people see that example on the site that I gave the URL to, granite-part.com?
They will. There's a new report there on how to engage customers on the left-hand column. If you click there, you'll be able to download a free PDF of a report garnered through some research we did a little while ago about how to engage customers.
All right.
You'll also have to log in to give me your email address so I can send it to you. You'll get a response back that tells you, yes, we received your order. And if you'd like anything else, please let us know. And you'll also get a confirmation of the fact that you received the order and a questionnaire about whether you liked it or not.
Okay. So I assume those are all the best practices because you're doing them for your business.
It's all automatic. I don't have to do a doggone thing, and it makes people connected to me much better and gives them a lot more opportunity to give me feedback on the information. And it lets me collect their name without creating too much a problem with their identity.
And something you alluded to in that description of the way you're recommending things go about or nonprofits go about building this list is having permission. What is permission marketing, and how do we get permission?
Permission marketing is a critical step in producing effective pushdown marketing. What you're essentially doing is letting people give you their permission to market to them. And that does two things. One, it gauges their level of interest and lets them self-select what they want to receive. Two, it also tells you how they want to receive it, by what medium. Opt-in is a way of gathering permission marketing. If you send out an email to all your members, say if you're a nonprofit membership organization, and say, we're updating our records, we'd like to give you, you'd like you to give us your email address so that we can communicate with you that way. Check the following boxes about what's appropriate, what the best address to use is. If we have this information correct listed below, check that and we'll keep that. And also, if you'd not like to receive anything from us, check the box below to opt out. So opt-in permission is sort of tacit if you give them an opt-out option. It's a little less overt, and a lot of people just sort of ignore it, which gives you sort of tacit permission to market to them. But the trick is they've given you the information and are allowing you to market to them directly without being directly asked for it.
All right. And then you, as the emailer, as the nonprofit, have a responsibility to honor all those selections that the person has made.
Absolutely. And if you don't honor them, your reputation with that person and in general gets tarnished to the point where it's almost unusable. And we'll go into that a little further with the ISPs a little later on.
Okay. We're going to take a break right now. My guest is Dave Polis. We're talking about excellence in email execution. Stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. We're live today with Dave Polis. We're talking about Excel in email execution. And since we're live, that means we're taking calls. So you can call with a question for Dave about email best practices, frustrations you might be having. The number is 877-480-4120. 877-480-4120. Dave, now we've developed this list How do we keep it clean? What's a clean list?
Well, a clean list is one that functions and that delivers your message precisely where you want it to go every time. And there are a couple of things that you need to start with. You've built a list that you think is right. Your first thing is to make sure that what you start with is good. That we all know about computers, garbage in and garbage out. You have to make sure that all the addresses fit and conform to the format for a proper email address.
Okay.
Typos, fat fingering the addresses, getting things backwards, transposing characters. Email addresses are far, far higher accuracy level than postal addresses.
Right. The email address has to be exact, right? It has to be perfect.
Yeah. Letter perfect every time or it will not go.
And
so what you have to do is check it both manually and electronically to make sure that it all conforms and you can send every piece of mail on there to where it's supposed to go.
Okay. Is the simplest way to do that to send a test email to someone to verify that and then get their permission in the way you described? Is that a decent way to do it?
Or? You're better off eyeballing the list firsthand mechanically and then going through optically and making sure you haven't missed anything. Because if you get things wrong, you may get stuck or trapped in filters and create problems, and what that's going to do is block you when you get the right address.
Okay.
You want to clean it up visually first as best you can. Make sure that all the at symbols are right before the domain name. It's not an exclamation point instead because somebody hit the wrong key. Happens a lot. You can do search and replace doing this, and it takes very little time to do it electronically. And then go through and eyeball the list. Just have two or three people look it over, make sure there's no glaring errors. You want to make sure that all the domain names that have the letters spam in them are taken out. Those are traps put in there by the ISP sometimes. When you rent list more often than not, but occasionally somebody will slip one in there. When they're registering, they'll give you a bogus address that doesn't really exist. You want to pull out the ones that have a domain name that's sort of suspicious looking. And you'll learn to spot these after a while to make sure you're getting exactly what you think you're getting.
Oh, okay. So to get into the content, let's say, so this wouldn't be people filling out cards at an event, probably, or mailing back in response
to a postcard. Web registrants.
It's when registering, so people might give bogus address. See, you know, I'm such a good-hearted person. I don't even think of.
Well,
I don't even think of people cheating on something so simple as that. Really,
they've learned over time that if you fill out a form, somebody's going to send you back something, and often those lists are sold over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And by the time the third generation sale is over, you have no relevance to the list at all.
Right.
And you're getting stuff that you really don't want, and it's clogging up your email box, and you don't want that. So they'll either make up a fake address to give you so that they'll pass through the filters as a legitimate address initially, or they'll give you one that they never open, which isn't going to do you any good anyway. A lot of those Gmail accounts or AOL accounts that are free, people will just have one of those strictly that they've used to fill out so that all the junk drops into there.
I see.
You don't want to be in that list. You want to see a legitimate list with a legitimate ISP carrier. Verizon or Comcast or one of those for homes. And the businesses, typically you want them to reflect the domain of the business they're part of. That tells you it's a legitimate email address.
But Gmail and AOL, those could be legitimate accounts. You couldn't screen all those out.
No, you can't. But you can see one that looks too far from their real given name if you have that to compare it to. Somebody's registering, you know, as Nerd65 at AOL, and they're not, you know, giving you a scientific address or their name is Fred spelled backwards or something. You start to look at the bogus ones and figure it out.
Okay. And since you did mention something that we hadn't talked about in developing the list, let's talk a little about purchasing a list. What is that valuable for the small or mid-sized nonprofit, purchasing a list?
Rental and compiled lists can be of value. You have to be very careful about the source. If you go through a legitimate list broker and you're looking for a very legitimate piece of a database that concerns especially business addresses, yes, you can gain a lot out of that because those things have been double opt-in checked. They've been verified on a monthly basis that they do exist and they are real and that they do fit the profile that you've selected when you rented the list. Now, you have to keep in mind that those are usually for one-time use only and you cannot reuse them unless you have a special agreement from the renter. Compiled lists are another story. Those are those public things that you can buy that, say, have been scraped off of websites or have been captured out of the air from email conversations and that kind of thing. Hackers will market these things to bring in extra bucks. They're not very useful, they're not very mailable, and you're getting into some serious spamming trouble by even attempting to use most of them because they're loaded with monitors and traps and keys in there that'll tell people that you're spamming.
Okay, then you want to be working with a legitimate company that you can verify. You mentioned scraping off email. You're treading closely to jargon jail. It has a suggestion of what it is, but I don't want you to even be anywhere near jargon jail. So, what is scraping? It sounds like an unsavory practice.
It is an unsavory practice in its connotation and its information. What you want to avoid, there are people out there who will go to a business website and literally capture, copy, paste, electronically scrape off every email address that's buried in there, your entire staff listing, if you're going to a law firm, I've got every lawyer listed on there with a separate email address for them. They're going to scrape all those off of there and compile them all into a big list.
I see.
Those may be legitimate, but they don't know who they belong to or what they go to, what level of person it is. They have no information that goes with it. It's just a list of addresses.
Yeah. As if people would really want to communicate with a bunch of lawyers. But
or anything.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, a manufacturing firm or you know, the post office website or anything. They've just gathered a bunch of email addresses from a bunch of lists. Sometimes they'll sort of piggyback on someone else's internet activity as well. And as they're going from site to site, start scraping through that.
Okay.
It gets very, very tedious and very touchy when you start doing stuff like that because you have privacy issues, you have legal issues. Spam laws have teeth in them, ladies and gentlemen. They can sue you for spamming. So you want to be careful what addresses you're using and who you're sending to.
Okay. And I didn't want to suggest that buying a list from a verifiable source would be a good way of trying to get donors. I mean, as a fundraising consultant, I didn't mean to suggest that this is a way to acquire new donors, but maybe to acquaint someone with your nonprofit. But you'd have to be very precise in the type of list you bought in terms of the interests of the people. Is that possible, Dave, to drill into, get a list of people who are interested in, I don't know, environmental activism but maybe in the Pacific Northwest? I mean, do the lists from stable and appropriate companies come with that level of detail?
Some do and some do not. They're further ahead for business than they are for consumer availability for drilling that deeply.
Okay.
If you drill down into segments that deeply on consumer lists, chances are good you're going to have to pay a pretty penny for it. A good place to start with that, if you have a specific interest, say, let's call it environmental, you would want to try going to print publications that deal with that concept, Sierra Club or Audubon Society or any of those that deal in environmental issues routinely. Subscriber lists from them can be segmented by geography, and you can also rent additional email addresses that go with those mailing addresses.
Yes.
Get them that way.
Excellent idea. Okay, right.
That's legitimate.
Yes, you know the publication is targeted. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. All right,
the way to get around that. Trying to pull that out of a compiled list is virtually impossible.
Okay, good. Thank you. So we've developed our list. We understand how to get it clean and make sure it stays clean, has to be maintained.
Mm-hmm. Well, staying clean is another thing, because now that you've sent this thing out once, you're going to get some activity coming back from it. Not only responses that you want, but responses you don't want. You're going to get people that ask you to take them off. You're going to get, because you missed the target, it wasn't who you thought it was, or
mm-hmm.
they're not interested,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want you to clog up their box for the next 6 months with stuff they don't need. That's a good thing. You like getting those out of there because that saves you time and money.
Yes.
Two, you're going to have people that were out of the office that day and it just bounced back and told you they may get it or they may not. Three, you're going to have bounce backs for other reasons. The ISP in that part of the country was a little slow that day and missed something. There was a glitch in a certain segment of the internet that went down for a moment and your mail got trapped in it.
Mm-hmm.
Could be any number of other things. There's a whole series of bounce back codes that the internet service provider will give you that helps you interpret those bounce backs and lets you separate them out and decide whether to keep that address that is a temporary thing or whether it's permanent. It'll tell you if you got the address wrong, if that person's not at that address anymore, if that business is not there, that domain's not active, whatever. They'll tell you what the problem was with it when you learn how to read the code.
Okay.
So you got to get those out of there. Once you've sent the first one, you're going to have to be prepared with how to deal with all those things that bounce back. And those happen fairly quickly, usually within the first hour or so after you send it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's really list maintenance, and that's going to be happening every time you send to your list, sounds like.
There will be a certain level of activity.
Depending on how...
The game is to whittle that down to practically nothing.
Yeah, all right. Depending on how many people you're mailing to. If it's just a few hundred,
Right.
You'll have fewer of those glitches and bounce backs.
Every time you mail, they should get fewer and fewer because you're making good decisions based upon those codes, taking the bad ones that are going to be permanently bad out.
All right.
You're not remailing them.
Right. Okay. So, well, let me just remind people that my guest is Dave Polis. He's the principal of Granite Partners, and we're talking about excelling in your email execution. So then, Dave, we have developed our list, and it's clean, and we've gotten the appropriate permissions, and we know how to maintain the list over time. You have some elements of effective messaging, actually, what to say. What's your first bit of advice on what the content of the message should be?
Some of it is what to say, and some of it is how to say it.
Okay.
The first thing you're going to notice is that with the new influx of mobile customers that are out there that have their email come to a mobile device, you have far less real estate with which to impress the recipient. You have basically a from address and a single subject line. That's all they're going to see on a mobile device. There's no preview function.
Mm.
So what you have to do is make sure that, A, the address you're sending from is from a brand they will recognize or at least understand. So whatever service you're using to send these out, if it's Outlook, you have to set up a box that sort of carries the brand and makes sense for the outgoing mail. Or if it's a service, you want to make sure that they've gotten you an outgoing address that reflects your brand so that they know who this thing is from and they recognize.
Well, wouldn't the service just be using your own, your nonprofit domain name?
Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. They have what's called rotating ISP.
Yeah. What's a rotating ISP? Why would they, I don't understand, why would they rotate for the same nonprofit? Why would they use different domain names to send from?
They'll mask them behind an existing name, so the recipient will only see your name, but they're using 10 or 12 different outgoing addresses because they can shove more down the data pipe that way. They can spread your list out and get it out the door faster.
But if you're a nonprofit, you want it to come from your domain.
Absolutely. Sometimes your domain, the physical space that your domain inhabits doesn't allow enough pass-through time. You can't shove enough email through it fast enough because you just don't have enough bandwidth. You didn't rent enough stone. So what happens is they'll spread it out and they'll mask it. They'll refer to your domain name. The recipient only sees your domain, which is good.
Oh.
But they're using 10 or 12 different ones. And sometimes the spam filters will pick up on the sub and block things out.
Oh. And who's the they that we're talking about? Is this a company like Constant Contact? Is that or who's the they you're referring to?
There are service providers out there that do nothing but deliver bulk email. They are registered, they're certified, they're very, very compliant with the ISP service providers that give you internet access and actually deliver and carry the mail. This is a middleman that you would go to as a nonprofit. If you have a list of 10 or 20,000 potential donors that you're going to be sending to routinely, you're not going to be able to shove 20,000 addresses through your Outlook account and with any kind of accuracy or timeliness.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is anything over about 200 names, you're going to want to go to a provider that sends out bulk email for a living. That's all they do.
And is Constant Contact an example of what you're talking about? MailChimp, is that an example, or are there other? Am I in the wrong space?
You're in a similar space and a different scale. Constant Contact and MailChimp and those kind of things are more of the do-it-yourselfer version of that. They're sort of big versions of Outlook. They're attached to larger relational databases that let you get mail out in larger volumes by yourself from your workstation.
Okay.
If you're sending 10 and 20,000, even those are going to have a problem. They're going to start to bog down and go very slowly, and they're going to use up a lot of bandwidth.
Okay. Right. But for our audience of small and mid-sized nonprofits, the ones I mentioned might be suitable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. They're a great way to get started. If you're looking at between 2 and 5,000 names of any kind, yeah, Constant Contact would be a very good bargain.
Okay. Dave, we have just a little less than a minute left. Why don't you tell us what you think is coming next? What's the next generation of email going to look like?
Email is going to get a lot more robust. In the next 6 months to a year, you can bet on the fact that you'll be able to embed photographs and video in your outgoing email and have it be interactive and reactive. Currently, if you put an image in an email, you run the risk of having it be screened out by spam filters or by network firewalls, because they don't allow images. They scan for them and they remove them as being too large, and they cut down on the volume of data traffic. So they get rid of them. So if you're putting an image in there, one of the things we tell people is don't let the image tell the entire story. Have some text that tells the story, too, because the image probably isn't going to make it.
And you see video coming in email.
Absolutely. Video will be able to be embedded in an outgoing email. Beyond the capability we have today where it's just a link and it's actually resonant somewhere else, we're going to be able to actually carry video imagery on email before too long.
All right. We have to leave it there. Dave Polis, principal of Granite Partners, which you'll find at granite-part.com. Dave, thank you very much for being a guest. Thank you for your excellent ideas.
Tony, it's been a pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. After this break, it's Tony's Take Two.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back. It is roughly 32 minutes after the hour, which means it's time for Tony's Take Two. And after that, I'll be joined by Claire Meyerhoff, and we'll continue talking about excelling in email execution. Five for Tony's Take Two. Five ways to be a planned giving evangelist, something I blogged about this week. It actually could apply to anything that you do that you love doing, and I hope you really love the work that you do, so much so that you want to evangelize about it. I chose planned giving as the subject of my evangelism on this week's blog. And I'll just share a couple of the things that I think go into being an evangelist for what you do. You got to love it. In my example, you got to love planned giving. You got to recognize that it has value for nonprofits and for donors and for their families, and recognize the good that it can do for society as you're helping charitable missions. So whatever it is that you want to evangelize about, you really have to love it. And be unashamed about your love of it. Don't talk, sort of humbly or shyly about whatever it is you want to evangelize about. You need to be out in the open. You need to be enthusiastic, which should be easy because you love what it is you're talking about. So carry that enthusiasm. Don't talk, sort of humbly about your love of the subject you want to evangelize about and your love of your work. And as you're being unashamed, spread that word. Spread it to people that you work with, people who are in your network that you don't work with. When the topic comes up, what do you do? What do you love doing? You want to be unashamed about sharing it, and you want to use the opportunities that you have to spread the word. So those are three of the ways that I think you can be a planned giving evangelist or an evangelist about whatever it is you love to do. And you can see my blog at mpgadv.com for more on those ways and a couple of additional ways as well. And also, always the reminder that we are on iTunes. You can subscribe at iTunes, listen, and get automatic downloads of the show and listen at your leisure on the device of your choice, whether that's tablet or phone or desktop or laptop. And that is always at nonprofitradio.net. That is Tony's Take Two for Friday, April 8th. I'm joined now. My guest is Claire Meyerhoff. Claire, how are you doing?
Hi, Tony. Great. How are you?
A pleasure to have you back. I'm well. Thank you very much. Claire Meyerhoff is the editorial director at The Planned Giving Company, and she is the creative producer of this show. We're going to talk about how to write for email fundraising so that your messages get opened, read, and responded to. So continuing the topic of excelling in email execution. Claire, so Dave Polis sort of left us with right at a perfect point, I think, talking about the header of the email. He talked about where it's from. What's your advice about the subject line of the email?
Well, the subject line is really important because if you think about your own email use, what do? You're on your iPhone, you kind of flip through, and so the subject line is very important. And what you want to do is make real something that somebody puts to open. So whatever you are promising them, you need to deliver it on the inside.
All right. Claire, I'll tell you what. You sort of need to repeat, actually, what you said about the subject line because you're breaking up. You're on a landline, right?
I am on a landline, and I'm hearing some feedback.
Okay. I know the feedback is a little challenging. Try to, I guess, talk through the feedback and or maybe not listen so much, but just talk. And when you're done talking, then put the earpiece back to your ear. But could you tell us again what your advice is for the subject line?
That's excellent advice. I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay, my advice for the subject line is, the subject line is going to be the thing that the person will either open it or they will delete it. So your subject line needs to be something that is really, truly news. What is it that you are going to be telling people or you want them to do or you want them to hear about most? So put that in there. And basically only about 30 characters or so because they don't even see the rest of it. So put your good stuff up front.
Yeah, you sort of have to write that like a headline, right?
It's a lot like a headline. And think about the news business and think about why you pick up a newspaper and read it. It's because of the headlines. And any New Yorker knows that New York Post, the Daily News, they've had a long history of really pretty interesting headlines that really grab your attention. So think about the same thing with your nonprofit. What is your nonprofit's headline, and what is the headline for this newsletter that you're sending people?
Yes.
Not something generic like May newsletter, June newsletter.
Okay. Yeah, the New York Times, the Daily News and the New York Post. My favorite, well, one of my favorites. There's a whole book about New York Post headlines, which is, it's called Topless Body in Headless Body in Topless Bar. And I have a copy of that, but Headless Body and Topless Bar from a Murder. But one of my favorites was when Jacques Cousteau's ship crashed, and the headline was Calypso Collapso. Isn't that genius? I just have
That's
to share
great.
That. I know, it's great. I love that one.
And see, if you're like a Save the Whales organization, you're not going to have that Calypso Collapso or anything like that. So I think that's pretty cool.
It's hard to be that clever, but those
that those clever, and you know what? If you were that clever, someone would probably open up your email.
Certainly. What else? Do you have any other advice for that header information? Maybe the from line, who should be from, or any other advice there?
Well, unless everybody knows that Lisa is the head of your organization, it shouldn't be from one person. Instead, make it from your organization and have it be the name, something that is sort of more of an action kind of a word, like not information, but news maybe, you know, news at habitatforhumanity.com or something like that. So give it a name that is a little newsy sounding, might get someone's attention better than, say, info at or you know, something really generic. And, you know, keep it really, really short and put the key words right up front and whatever some buzzwords are that are right now in for your field. So if sustainability or something is a good buzzword, use that. And so definitely just put the keywords right up front. That's the main thing.
Okay. And you mean in the from line. So maybe sustainability at the domain. Is that what you're suggesting?
Oh, no, sorry. I'm still talking about the subject line. But,
oh,
but
subject.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
If you're a nature organization and you're always talking about sustainability and the name of your newsletter is something with just sustainability, perhaps that could be your email address. I hadn't thought of that, but it can be whatever you want so that it's recognizable. And
yes.
Again, it's all about the brand and it's recognizable. And always be thinking about who your audience is. And I like to think of your email recipients, the people that will open the email, and those are the ones we care about the most, the people that actually open it and mm-hmm. then the few that follow through, right? Who are those people? Those are your most loyal people, just like in planned giving. Who are the best planned giving donors? Your loyal donors, people that have been giving for a long time. Well, the people that are actually opening and reading your email, those are your really loyal followers. Those are your loyal supporters.
Yes. Oh, so you're saying you want to have them in mind as you're crafting your message.
Exactly. Keep them in mind. What do they care about? So think about a few people that you know, supporters of your organization,
okay.
who have names and faces, and think about what are they interested in? What is Kathy interested in? What is Robert interested in? And craft it that way.
Okay. And as we're crafting our message, what's your advice about how long it should be?
The subject line?
Oh, no. The length of the body of the message.
The body of the entire email newsletter should be chunked. So if you have, you know, one big article, you know, chunk that up into different articles. But as far as length, you know, there's no specific length to an e-newsletter. It can be as long or short as you like. Think about the ones that you read and pattern yourself after that. If you're bored after a certain amount of time, then your readers are bored.
Okay.
Pretty short.
Okay. What other advice have you got to share? I've been sort of suggesting topics, but tell me what your advice is.
Well, here are some do's.
Okay.
Do plan ahead. A newsletter done that's on the fly usually looks like it's been done on the fly. So plan your newsletter ahead of time, and that means preparing an editorial calendar, maybe for the whole year. How often are you going to send these out? If you feel like you can send out one a month, that's great. And then think about what you might be doing in those months. Like if you know your annual report is coming out and you're going to have a lot of new information, then you know that you can that your May newsletter might be packed with a lot of great statistical information, all kinds of cool stuff that you know about in May. But, of course, in December you have the holidays, so you know that you can do holiday-related things. So come up with an editorial calendar. So if you're going to do it once a month, pick a day that you think is a good day to send it out when your readers are most likely to read it, and then plan ahead. Say, well, in February we're going to do this, in March we're going to do that, and have a couple of things, knowing full well what's going on. If it's September's back to school and that's important for your organization, well, then that's your back to school newsletter, and you know you're going to have information about that. And also decide on a goal before you do your newsletter. What's the goal of the newsletter? Is the goal just, oh, well, we want to tell people a bunch of stuff that's going on? Well, that's not a goal. What's your real specific goal? Are you entering into a campaign? Are you announcing something and you want everybody to know about it? Are you trying to raise money? Are you trying to get people to come to an event, to sign up for a walkathon? What is the goal of the newsletter? And then work backwards from what your goal is.
Okay. Claire, we just have about 30 seconds before the break. You mentioned planning ahead and maybe as much as a year. As you're developing your email marketing plan, you want that to be dovetailed with your other marketing activities, right? You might be sending print pieces as well, around your events, things like that, right?
Absolutely. And marketing is a huge challenge for most small nonprofits because the person doing marketing is also doing 50 other things. So the more planned you can be, the easier it makes your job. So have a little marketing plan for the year, even if it's one page and it's a calendar. We're going to do this in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. And it's all about when you send postcards, when you send emails, when you send a regular newsletter and other mailings.
Okay. We're going to take a break. My guest is Claire Meyerhoff, editorial director at the Planned Giving Company. We're excelling in email execution. Stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hello and welcome back. I'm talking to Claire Meyerhoff, and we're excelling in your email execution. Claire, you had a list of do's that you wanted to continue sharing with us.
Well, some other do's are do motivate your reader. You are sending this email to them, and you want them to do something, and you need to motivate them to do it. And the easiest way to keep them unmotivated is to bore them.
Okay.
Boring and dull. And the best way to motivate them is to tell them about something great that's going on that really would matter to them. So do you have a really great event coming up? Do you have something really cool that's new in your organization to tell people about? It's news, and news means it's usually something new. So what's new going on at your organization that's important to your reader, not just what's important to you? Yeah, you just finished your quarterly report, or you have a new drink machine in the break room. That might be important to you, but it's not important to your reader. So think about the things that your reader will think really
okay
need.
And that's consistent with your advice earlier, just to have a few people in mind and think about what's interesting to them and write to that audience.
And think about what's interesting to them. Also do the cocktail party thing or the coffee shop thing, where if you ran into someone at Starbucks and they said, hey, what's new at your organization, what would help?
Yeah, excellent. Right, if you just had a couple minutes. Right, what, excellent. Yeah, yeah. Any other do's?
You might want to tell people why this is important now, which is usually true for fundraising. So what is going on right now, why this is important? So if you're an environmental organization and there's some sort of threat, that's what you want to tell people about right now. We need to do this now. You need to sign the petition now. You need to send us money now. We're trying to fight it now.
Your call to action.
It's the call to action. And make sure your call to action really is a call to action, and that your writing matches the urgency of it. What I see a lot of times in email that I get from a lot of different nonprofits is, you know, it's sort of the henny penny email. The sky is falling. They're taking our rights away, and they're going to ruin the environment, and they're really bad. And I don't really want to see that. I want to see the action. I want to see, like, what you're doing. Like, you know, we've got a bus on its way to this place full of volunteers, and they're all going, and we need some gas money. Like, I want to know what the thing is right now, the action that you're doing, that you need my help. Why are you writing to me? Why is that news? So tell me that.
Okay. Before we get to your don'ts, which I'm sure you have, how do you make sure that your emails are consistent with your general identity for the organization, so they look like the rest of what you send out, whether it's emails or website or print?
Well, that goes back to your marketing plan, if you have one. And some places don't have one. It's pretty common. So think about a couple of simple things that you always do and include that in your newsletter. So if you always have a pet of the month, because you're the animal adoption agency and you always have a pet of the month and you have a cute little name for it, use that. Make sure you use that in your identity. So use those identifiable things that you've already created, and if you don't have some, it's time to create them.
Okay. So that's excellent. That's the substance. What about just the appearance of the messages?
How do you mean by the appearance?
What artwork you might include? Photos or identity elements that you have for your nonprofit?
Well, I was listening to Dave earlier about sending photos in emails and how a lot of those get filtered out. So I'm definitely thinking about the photo thing, because if people aren't getting them, that's maybe not a great idea. But I love photos. If you can use photos, photos are the best. And frankly, a lot of times your most loyal donors are also on Facebook, and they're a friend of your organization on Facebook. And as long as you're not putting up things like 10 times a day, they're interested in seeing what you have. They're not going to block you.
Okay.
So think about your Facebook. Think about your email newsletter in conjunction with each other and how they can play off each other. So if you have a great, great photograph, it's like the best photograph that tells the story of your mission like no other photograph, use that photograph a lot of times. Repurpose it. So you might want to send it in your e-newsletter and, you know, have it on your Facebook, and in your e-newsletter say there are more photos like this on the Facebook or on our website. Send people to the website where there are more of these great photographs, and then take that really great, that one great photograph, and put it in your print newsletter. Use it on a postcard for fundraising. Let's say you're doing a little planned giving postcard campaign. Put that one great photo on that postcard. So reuse the good stuff that you have. It's good.
We have just about 2 minutes left. What are some of the don'ts that you want to share?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because yes, I try to be positive these days. So I wrote a big list of do's.
Oh, you have
no
all do's
don'ts
and no don'ts? Oh, I thought for
so
sure. Okay.
Just turn
all right
them around.
Okay. Well, so
okay. Let's see. Don't be not creative.
Right. All right. Be creative. All right,
be
no,
creative.
Use them as
do's. Are you an environmental
organization, okay,
and you just did a survey about eyesores in your community? What are the top three? See, that would really get attention. So be creative with the stuff, the good stuff that you have that's interesting, that your organization really has a handle on. So let's say you are an environmental organization, you just did a big survey, and out of that survey results came this, you know, little thing that wasn't the main focus, but in it was that, you know, people complained the most about these certain areas in your county that were the biggest eyesores. Well, that's a news story for you, where you can say, what are the top three ugliest eyesores in the whole county?
Mm.
And you can do a lot with that. That's really interesting. People will open up that email. Is your town, you know, is this eyesore in your neighborhood?
Why don't you leave us with one more of your do's, or however you want to phrase it, do's or don'ts?
Do's or don'ts. Well, I like to talk about, you know, writing and words and storytelling. So just do tell really good stories that are about someone that affect other people. Don't talk about yourself and how great you are. Talk about the people that you're serving and how you're solving problems for people. I'll give you this one. This is my one last tip I give everybody these days. You can't think of a story. Look at the money. find out a recent gift that you got and how did you use that money. And then find the person that's benefiting from the money that you're using. So, for instance, if you just got a gift and you built a handicapped ramp, who is benefiting from that handicapped ramp at your facility? So find that person and do a story about them. And that's where you find your story.
Yeah.
Good stories are everywhere. Just follow the money.
Certainly, because charities are doing good work. So people are benefiting. Those stories should be very common.
Right. Where's the money going? Find someone benefiting from it and focus on them. And where would their life be without this organization? And where would their life be without specifically this money that just came in and how it was used? You had a big campaign. Everybody gave money. You raised thousands and thousands of dollars. Where did it go?
Thank you very much.
Where it went.
Thank you very much, Claire.
Thank you, Tony.
My guest has been Claire Meyerhoff, editorial director at the Plan Giving Company and creative producer for Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Next week, we're going to be all about auctions. And if we bring that a little further, maybe we can do advertising and awareness advancements in auctions in America. But for right now, we'll just stop with all about auctions. Silent, loud, or online. What's it all about? Auctions? My guest is going to be Roger Devine of Devine Assistance, and he's going to explain what auctions are all about. I hope you'll be part of that conversation, and we'll have a group sing at the end, maybe. Also, Scott Kegler, our tech guru, and he's our regular contributor. Of course, you know that. He's the editor of Nonprofit Technology News, and he's going to share what's newest in technology for your nonprofit. Keep up with what's coming up on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Sign up for our email alerts on the Facebook page at facebook.com and then the name of this show. And while you're there, like us, become a fan. On iTunes, as I talked about earlier, that is always found at nonprofitradio.net. Subscribe, listen anytime on the device of your choice. As I said a few times, our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Our line producer and the owner of Talking Alternative Broadcasting is Sam Leibowitz. And our social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. Booker T and the MGs composed our theme music. Thank you very much, guys. Hope you'll join me next Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern, for Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, as always on Talking Alternative Broadcasting, found at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-221-8183. 214-364-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.